Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, The Universal Blueprint for Building a Healthy Family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and your host. Our topic today is consumerism and other holiday issues. We have some thoughtful and helpful advice on how parents can confidently navigate many of the joys and stresses each holiday season brings. This includes gift giving and gift receiving, the commercialization of the holidays, and having a season of celebration that helps build lasting memories for families. Before we dive into our discussion, I just want to let you all know how you can ask questions during the live show. We really welcome your calls and your questions. You can either call in by dialing 1-347-205-9654. That's area code 347-205-9654. And when you're ready to ask a question, just press the 1 key on your telephone keypad to raise your hand. You can also go to the Parents Tool Talk chat room during the live show, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will take your question and pass it on. You just go to www.parentstooltalk.com and click the Play Chat button that's just underneath today's show title and description. I also want to give a quick reminder to all foster parents to check in at the beginning and the end of the show today to qualify for continuing education credits. Just call in or use the chat room. And if you need detailed instructions, just go to parentstooltalk.com/links. That's parentstooltalk.com/links. And just click on the link that says CEUs for foster parents. Now, without any further ado, I'm looking forward to introducing my special guest expert this month. Her name is Susan Vogt, and she is a certified family life educator and freelance speaker and writer in the areas of marriage, parenting, and spirituality. She has a master's degree in counseling and has been a professional family minister for over 30 years. Susan has taught at the college level and gives workshops around the USA and the world. She lives in the greater Cincinnati area with her husband, Jim. They have 4 young adult children. An ongoing interest of Susan's is to help families learn how to live happily on less. This has been especially crucial during these hard economic times. She relishes finding ways to live well without breaking the bank. And her most recent book is Raising Kids Who Will Make a Difference, Helping Your Family Live with Integrity, Value Simplicity, and Care for Others. Susan offers brief, free, weekly emails for parents called Parenting Pointers. So, Susan, thank you so much for being on the call today.
Thank you, Jody. I'm glad to be here.
Good. Well, I've been looking forward to a holiday-themed show, and I'm thinking a nice introduction to our show is to, first of all, maybe talk a little bit about how each family has its own culture and traditions that kind of get passed down through the ages, and how we're going to have our conversation today so that everyone, regardless of religion, regardless of which holidays they practice, can take away some valuable information and be able to apply that in a way that really fits for their family. So what ideas do you have for how we can do that? And
well,
how you do that sometimes when you do workshops?
Yes, well, I am frequently asked to do workshops on this topic, especially during November and December. And usually the requests I get are specific to the Christian holiday of Christmas, but I think it's possible to talk more universally about these issues that arise around gift-giving holidays. Because whether a family observes it as a religious holiday or not, there are many similarities, and the issue of consumerism, I think, operates on similar principles. So what I'd like to do is talk about a variety of ideas, and each family can choose what to take and what to not use, whichever they prefer.
That sounds really good. I really like making things universally applicable for everyone. Well, let's talk a little bit about consumerism. I had heard a rumor that Santa was invented by some Coca-Cola marketing company, and investigating it a little bit further, Santa actually was around before that. As early as the 1900s, we had this pot-bellied, white-bearded man in this red and white outfit. But the real commercialism of the holidays does seem to be traced back right around to the 1930s when Coca-Cola used Santa for that really famous marketing campaign where he's holding a Coca-Cola bottle. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it just seems that was kind of the age of where the holidays really kind of started becoming more and more commercialized. And every decade, I think we've seen more and more. So, you know, now today, it seems as though this holiday spirit that we talk about, it starts around Halloween. When we see, as soon as Halloween's over with, we see some Christmas decorations going up in the stores. After Thanksgiving, people start to shop till they drop. Children start asking for toys because now there's a ton of commercials on TV for things, and parents are standing in line overnight to stampede for that year's, you know, latest toy phase, toy fad craze. And then it kind of ends up, you know, with people partying all night on New Year's Eve, and so then people just kind of collapse exhausted into the new year. So instead of maybe having two or three very distinct holidays, it just seems to be this very long 2.5, you know, almost 3 month marathon. And so I'm wondering, you know, what effect do you think that it has of us starting this celebration so soon and having it last so long?
Boy, those are good questions. And let me take them in two parts. Yes, of course, the holiday season has become very commercial. Now, I think a lot of that is understandable, that certainly a lot of people make their incomes from the increased spending that happens during the holiday season, and I don't begrudge them that. In addition, people, especially parents, love to make their children happy, and giving presents can light up a child's face. So the motivations for buying more during the holiday seasons are not all bad, but you're asking what effect does this hurrying the holidays have on children, of starting it so early, even before Halloween many times.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I think hurrying the holidays does is that it robs children and all of us, but especially children, of the opportunity to learn an important life skill. And that skill is the value of waiting. Now, certainly waiting has a religious connection for Christians because December is the month of Advent in the Christian tradition, and it's the liturgical season of waiting, again, for the birth of Jesus. But one doesn't have to be a Christian to see that there's a real value in patience and waiting, and that we need to teach our children how to wait well. For example, we wait for birthdays, we wait for a driver's license, we wait for graduations, we wait for vacations, and even retirement as we get older. We daily might wait for package in the mail or a visit from a friend. Certainly, many of us have waited a long time for a wedding day or for a pregnancy. And parents, you know, we wait for a child to walk, then we wait for the child to talk, then we wait for them to stop fighting with their siblings, to grow up, to leave home, to come home, to get over an illness. So there's a lot of things that we need to learn to wait well for. And it's really a matter of learning to delay gratification. And I think the hurrying of the holidays sometimes impedes this skill because everything has to be right now.
And yeah. I think a lot of parents are seeing that with their children, too. I know we just had a graduate support group, and one of the questions was, how do I teach my child patience, especially young children that don't understand time? And it is. You know, we say, I think it's our society is very much geared towards immediate gratification, and there are a lot of things. You know, children can hit a remote button, and they've got their TV show on, or they don't have to wait for the TV show to even come on. They can mm-hmm. record it and watch it whenever they want and skip through all the commercials.
Yes.
So, you know, so I do. I think that all around us is this impression for children that we can get what we want right away, that, you know, most things are very immediately available. And it is difficult for children to learn that anyway, but then when children are young and don't even understand the concept of time, I know what we shared in the graduate support group was using calendars, you know, and crossing off dates for days mm-hmm. and using something tangible, you know, like how long it takes to watch a show or a video, or when you see the school bus go by, you'll know it's 4 o'clock, of making things mm-hmm. tangible so the children can learn how to wait and be patient.
Yes, and I know, of course, even as an adult, I find myself being impatient with waiting even the 5 minutes it takes my computer to reboot in the
yeah.
morning. And I think, oh, dear, I am sometimes I'm getting things out of perspective.
Yeah.
But in terms of waiting for the holidays, personally, what I try to do with our own family is to wait till after Thanksgiving to be the marker when we really start actively preparing for Christmas and the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's for some families that may not be their tradition or the way they do it, but it helps me stay sane. In fact, I remember we used to play a game with our kids when they were very young and still able to be awed by their parents' wisdom. We would, as we'd drive around maybe before Thanksgiving, and if we'd see a lot of Christmas decorations or houses with lights, we'd say, oh, isn't that silly? Those people just really don't understand that it's not even Thanksgiving yet, much less Christmas. And so they started to play the game. Oh, look, there's another silly house. Now, when they got older, they didn't think we were so, you know, compelling with our reasons. But with our own family, we've developed a number of traditions that gradually build towards Christmas. And these may be helpful to other families as a way to foster waiting. And one is finding ways to measure time. And you mentioned crossing off dates on a calendar. And for those who use an Advent wreath or an Advent calendar, it's the same principle that we mark time. But there's another way that our kids enjoyed marking time, and that's that every day we would make one of those links in a, you know, the construction paper chains that little kids make for the Christmas tree. We would do one a day for each person in the family, and then by the time it got to be Christmas, we had quite a long chain that we could decorate our tree with. So that was a way of marking time. And
I
then
would,
there's, yeah, go ahead.
I was given a gift. In fact, it's been passed down through the ages. It will get passed down when I have grandchildren. It's a little felt strip that hangs on a door and has 25 buttons on it that have a piece of yarn that come through it and ties.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can either tie one each night until you get to Christmas Eve and there's a bell on Christmas Day, or if they ended the last year all tied, each night kids can go and untie one, and then they can count how many days are left.
Great. Yes, good idea. And then along with the measuring time is the staging or phasing in of the weeks before the high holidays, as we call them, of
uh-huh.
Christmas. That it, for our own family, the first week we will do the Advent, you know, set up the Advent things, and then the next week we might put up some simple lights, but delay a lot of the holiday symbols like Santa or reindeer and things like that. And then the third week we go search for a tree, but we don't decorate it right away. And then the fourth week, we start baking gifts or decorating the tree. And so we save more of the celebrative parts of the holidays, parties and the real decorations that are more distinctly holiday decorations till after December 25th, with the idea that we have traditionally the 12 days of Christmas till January 6th to actually celebrate. But I have a caution, and that's that even though I just lined out how our family typically does it, I have learned the hard way that we have to be very careful about messing with family traditions, and that some families have very important and delicate traditions that they've developed over the years, and to try to change that because somebody else said, oh, it's important to wait, causes a lot of family disharmony, and that's really not in the spirit of the season either.
I was thinking of that also, because I think, I mean, we certainly aren't standing in judgment of what anybody does, you know, judging it to be silly or whatever. I'm sure there are some people like, you know, if I'm going to get up in my attic and take all that much time to get everything down, I want it to be up long enough so I can enjoy it. You know, there may be a very good reason. But I think no matter what the tradition is, I think if it's something that, well, around here is where we start doing this, and then we start doing this a little bit later, that can be part of that family's process of how they transition into the holidays.
The idea of gradually building towards it and not doing everything right at the beginning.
Yeah, and I don't think it also precludes people from being able to pick up a few Christmas gifts during the summer on a vacation as souvenirs, or finding a good deal in September and holding on to them. I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think what we're talking about is that real focus of we're getting ready for the season. And I would have to say this year was probably one of the earliest we've gotten our Christmas decorations up, because we had a team meeting the Monday after Thanksgiving weekend, and I wanted the house to look nice because we were going to take a picture with it in front of the Christmas tree. So, you know, there was a reason why we kind of did it earlier this year. But, there's nothing wrong with getting some of that shopping done. But I can recall at the beginning of November when we, in fact, it was on Halloween Day, we have about five people in our family who have November birthdays. And so we were having our November birthday dinner, and somebody brought up, so whose house are we having Christmas at this year? And it was like, goodness, it's not even November yet. Like, do we really have to be asked that question and start, you know, figuring out how we're going to be splitting our days yet so early? So I do think there is that sense of sometimes it's just too early in terms of really doing kind of those bigger celebrations. And I kind of like the idea of staggering those out, so we've got something to look forward to.
Yes, and especially, you know, I like your idea of buying all year. That's one thing that I recommend to parents also, so that the burden of buying Christmas gifts, and certainly I'm all for Christmas gifts. I'm not a bah humbug in that area, but that to spread it out and buy things as you see them throughout the year reduces the stress on the days leading up directly to the holidays.
Mm-hmm. And if I can move us into my next question, because you're talking about shopping, and that's kind of leading us to some more about this consumerism and buying gifts and all of that. You know, when you really ask people, particularly adults, and they start to recall the holidays, I've rarely heard people comment on what toy they got. I usually hear them comment on things like who was there or what food they had, or that they remember the smell of grandma's cookies. So I think that because consumerism during the holidays has become so intense, I think we've all kind of gotten to be perceiving it as all about buying things and giving gifts, but I don't really think that's probably what sticks with people in the long run. So, I mean, what do you think, what's been your experience, and what do you think about the difference between the importance of gifts versus family time, and what really does qualify, or what really does tend to make a lasting family memory?
Good point, because often people confuse gifts or things that money can buy with making the best memory.
Mm-hmm.
But I think creating special memories is what parents are usually really aiming at. And yet we get so busy about trying to buy things that we don't have time for that memory making. And one approach to resolving that is to first simplify our time before Christmas, before the holiday, so that you actually have time to make memories and don't just project stress to our children. And some of that simplifying has to do with reducing or eliminating activities that are more burden than joy. And I have some examples, things that over the years I've reduced that may be helpful to some families. One is, we want to keep the house clean enough for the health department, but I don't actually do a lot of cleaning. My solution is to use a lot of candles and low lighting so that people don't see the dirt when they visit. Cooking is nice, but it's nice because sometimes it can be a substitute for store-bought gifts, but sometimes we can run ourselves crazy with feeling we have to do elaborate meals.
Mm-hmm.
Decorate gradually and cultivate more of a graceful environment at home, more than a gaudy environment with lots of tinsel. Remember Christmas physics. By Christmas physics, I mean what goes up must come down. Whatever we put up, we have to take down, and that creates a lot of extra work after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas cards. You know, I love receiving Christmas cards. However, what I love most about them is hearing updates about our friends' families and what's going on. And that doesn't have to happen before Christmas. Sometimes, in fact, we do an after Christmas card that was supposed to happen in January. It ended up being a Groundhog Days card one year, and then an Easter card, and then a 4th of July card. We eventually made it around to Christmas again because we kept delaying it. Limit time in stores. Yes, we're going to buy things, but just wandering around stores eats up time and creates artificial needs. Limit Christmas specials. I remember when our children were very young, they were just bombarded with, "Mom and Dad, come quick, see this thing that's on TV I wanted for Christmas." We eventually told them, look, if you identify a gift that you want as having seen it on TV, that'll guarantee you don't get it. So they may have asked for the same thing, but they didn't make us rush to the TV. And the other thing is in gift giving, to reduce the number of gifts and the money. Now, we'll talk about that, I think, little later. But once we've freed up a little more time, we can add family rituals like cutting down the family Christmas tree, putting up a manger scene together, cooking Christmas cookies together, maybe watching a traditional movie or retelling a story we always do, going on an outing like to look at the lights in the neighborhood, and stringing popcorn and cranberries for the tree, inviting somebody who lives alone to come over and spend some time with us during this season, or just sitting in front of the fireplace, presumably with a fire, to quietly enjoy the time together. And then, of course, there's adding traditions of service, you know, that the family may make up some food baskets for needy families, or go to a soup kitchen together to serve, or go to a nursing home and sing carols. There's time for the things that really are going to be memorable for the kids.
That sounds great. And I actually, I just thought of a couple of other questions, and I'm going to jot those down. We usually take a break at 20 after, and I know we have someone on the line, but I don't know if they have a question, so I just want to give folks a chance to know how they call in, can call in again. In addition to any more ideas you have for simplifying, and I think those are great ideas for simplifying the holidays, not getting into overwhelm, and some things that we can do to create special family memories. In addition to those, you just brought up a couple things, and after the break I want to follow up, but I'll give you a heads up on now, is, and I actually just did an interview with a media reporter for an article yesterday on this topic of how to teach children, how can we help children become more charitable? So how might we introduce the idea of doing one of those charitable kinds of activities? And then another question of, and I think this relates to particularly now in this economy, a lot of folks are cutting back, and how do we maybe explain that to children? So I'm going to leave those thoughts with you to kind of think about those on our break. And I don't know if you can, but if ever occasionally we're getting a little bit of static from your line, so I don't know if you can maybe just double-check connections while we take this little quick break. So let me check in with our listeners and just welcome those of you maybe who joined the show a few minutes late. This is Parents Tool Talk Radio. I am your host, Jody Johnston-Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop. Our topic today is consumerism and other holiday issues, and we're talking to Susan Vogt, certified family life educator and freelance speaker. Now, if you have any questions at all during this live show today, you can either call area code 347-205-9654 and then hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand, or you can send us a question using the chat room at parentstooltalk.com. Now, we're going to be mentioning in our second break around 40 after the hour some resources that you can get, and if you'd like to access this month's bonus resources, you can sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. There you'll receive links to our featured resources, both from Parents Tool Shop and from our special guest this month. We'll give you information about upcoming shows, tips on how to download Parents Tool Talk recordings to your computer, how to subscribe to an RSS feed, and more. It's the only way to get exclusive information about future radio shows and access to the bonus resources and discounts we offer only to our loyal listeners. To sign up for the mailing list, you just go to parentstooltalk.com/links. That's www.parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/links, L-I-N-K-S. And I don't ever share your private information with anyone for any reason. This is just a sub-list of the Parents Tool Shop list is just for our radio show. Everyone for 1 month will get links related to this show for the first month right on Parents Tool Talk. But those people who are on the list, sometimes there are extra bonus resources, and we send them an email with those links so that they have it forever, and it won't disappear after a month. They'll have that email for as long as they want it. I am going to check in with my producer. Let's see. He's saying no questions in the chat room, and I'm not seeing any hands up in the switchboard. So let's just go ahead and head back. I'd like to get back to our guest expert, Susan Vogt, and our topic today, consumerism and other holiday issues. And I kind of thought of a couple of other ideas that I wanted to spring off of that last answer that you gave. Can you share with us, you had mentioned right before the break, about that we can involve our children in charitable activities. Can you share maybe some ways of how to introduce that, or maybe even not to introduce it, to just do it and say we're just doing this? But what ideas do you have for maybe how can families start to incorporate that kind of an activity into maybe some of their holiday traditions?
Yes, and this is one thing that our own family valued strongly. And I think children, though, are naturally receptive if they see people in need to want to help. And so it's not really a hard sell. If we can give them exposure to people who have less than they do. Mm-hmm. And it might simply mean walking around in a neighborhood that is obviously poorer than the one they live in, or taking a bus ride because we see all kinds of people on the bus, a cross-section of humanity. Or in our own family, what we did was that there is a local soup kitchen, and we just said, you know, At Thanksgiving and Christmas, we have these great meals, but we think it's only fair that we spend a little time with those, helping those who don't. And so let's serve at the soup kitchen on Christmas. And we did that, and then that led to a monthly commitment to continue to go to the soup kitchen.
Mm.
And so it's the kind of thing that just takes a little exposure. And sometimes places like soup kitchens can't use really young children, but singing carols at a nursing home is something that any age can do. And that was something we did when they were really young.
Oh, those are wonderful ideas. Yeah, and I like how it can, and this is kind of tying in, I think, to our topic last month, which was gratitude, of how to teach children gratitude, because I think when we focus on what we do have and we're grateful for that and can help children get a sense of that, and sometimes those helping them just become aware of and being of service to those who do have less can really help foster not only that sense of gratitude but then also that sense of giving. So now, in terms of for those folks who, it hasn't been such a prosperous year, it has been difficult. It's been, you know, maybe parents are losing jobs, things are very tight. I think a lot of families, regardless of income, are cutting back the last year or so, but particularly families who really do need to cut back and maybe can't give hardly anything. How could parents explain to children that maybe they need to cut back on the holidays in a way that that doesn't necessarily scare them or make them feel guilty for any gifts that they get? Do you have any suggestions for how you might be able to offer to parents if they do need to cut back, how to talk with their kids about that?
Okay. Well, it probably makes a big difference how old the children are.
Mm-hmm.
If you have older children or teens, they can understand, they know that these are hard economic times. And so you can explain it that way. With younger children, there's an advantage and disadvantage. When the children are very young, it's easier to set the bar low right from the beginning because their expectation isn't that, oh, we've always gotten this amount of gifts or these expensive gifts. But I think in either case, it's a matter of returning to the spirit of the holidays and whether you come from a religious background on holidays or not, still the spirit of generosity and wanting to share ourselves with each other more than what things we buy can help us understand what the real meaning of Christmas is. And one of the things that I did a couple years ago, I asked for ideas from the readers of my parenting pointers for inexpensive Christmas gifts. And so I developed a list that I call Gifts from the Heart, Priceless, that is on my website. And I think you are linking to it or putting it on your website also. But it has, maybe 40 or 50 ideas of inexpensive or free gifts that people can give. And they're divided into categories of coupons or services, gifts of food, gifts of memories, gifts of words, and giving to charity. So there's lots of ideas, and I'm going to use one of them this year with my mother because, you know, with people, parents and grandparents, yes, they fall into the category of, oh, I already have everything, don't get me anything. But one idea is to fill a jar with 50 colored pieces of paper, each one having a memory or a compliment or something that you want to say to your parent, and they pick out one a week. So there are things like that can keep giving throughout the year that are more meaningful than another tie or a piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
Now, for our own family, I do want to qualify that as wonderful as these inexpensive and free and gifts of service are, our own kids gave a little pushback at one point in our family life. And, in fact, some of my other relatives, too, when they said, well, I don't know if we want any more gifts of cows or rabbits that are given to somebody in a poor country, but we never get to see them. And that we can't fully shield our children from wanting what they see others have and what they see advertised.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in one of my more, I guess, ambitious days of trying to reduce my consumerism is that our oldest child was maybe 6 or 7, and we had just moved his bedroom into the basement because we only had a 2-bedroom apartment. And he and I decided I was going to make him a clothes tree because he didn't have any closets. And I was all excited about this. And I made it myself. I got the wood and I stained it and I put colorful ceramic hooks on it. And I was just so thrilled that I had made this special personal gift for him. And it was a disappointment. And it was a disappointment to him, and I, seeing that look on his face, developed a new rule, and that is that each Christmas, each child should at least get one heart's desire. And the clothes tree was not a heart's desire. And so we have the policy in our family, as the children were growing up, we called them the magic three, that we would get each child one gift of clothing, one gift to grow on, and that would be like an educational toy or a book or something like that, and one heart's desire. And that was a way of us putting boundaries around how much we would get for our children, and it helped them know what to expect so that it just didn't go on and on and on.
Yeah, I like that idea. And actually, I on my end heard a little bit of a cutout while you were saying it. I'm not sure if our producer heard that or not. I know we've had some line problems. But let me just repeat for the magic three. So you said the magic three is one gift to grow on, which would be something educational.
Yes.
One gift of clothing, and then one gift to meet your heart's desire.
Yes. Then the clothing could not really be underwear.
Yeah.
That stuff goes in the stocking.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I didn't want to interrupt you earlier, but when you were talking about, you know, having the conversation, because this happened this year for us, and that my parents said, you know, we really have all the things that we want, but we live about an hour and a half away from our family. And when we come to visit, like, the whole family comes because we're there and we have this big get-together, and we really don't get a whole lot of time other than maybe weekly phone calls to talk one-on-one, and they really don't get time to spend with the grandkids, and our kids are older, they're adults now. And the few little snippets, you know, of time that they've had, you know, at the table talking, it's like, gosh, that was so neat to see who they've become, but we just don't get to see them enough. And so they said, really, what we just want is to be able to spend one-on-one time with each of you this year sometime. And so my husband and I were going to go out to dinner with my parents, just us. They were like, that was one of the best times we've ever had, was when we went out to dinner. And my daughter is, and hopefully my parents won't hear this before Christmas or it'll be a surprise, but is going to be giving them a coupon for her to just spend the day with them. You know, whatever they want to do, she'll spend the day with them, and they can just spend that quality time, kind of almost getting to know her. You know, children change so much, you know, from when they're little kids to becoming adults, and you know, our children have just emerged into these amazing beings. And for the grandparents, I don't think they have as much opportunity to still get to know them. So I think for adult children, or I should say adult grandchildren, or even possibly children, particularly if they've moved away from home and they're just busy all the time, giving that gift of time really is very important, particularly within families where folks get along together and they like being with each other.
Yes, outings like going to a play together or shopping together, the museum or zoo or whatever, I think is a wonderful gift and more valuable than some extra toy.
Yeah. Well, now, and when you mention your magic three, are you saying that children should only get three gifts?
Well, the way we handled it was that they only get three gifts from us as parents. Now, there certainly are grandparents and other relatives that gave gifts, and that sometimes was a dilemma because it wasn't always even among our extended family.
Yeah, and actually I'd like to get into that a little bit more after our break at 40 minutes here.
Sure.
We're due for a break. So, okay, so we'll move into that, but you're not saying that so it's really three gifts from us, but then others can.
Of course. You know, we can't control what others give.
Right. So let's come back, though, because I've got a couple of questions, and I know it would take us beyond our break time. So let me take a break. Welcome back. Susan, if you want to get a drink of water or whatever, that would be fine, because Chris is going to be telling us about the resources that you're offering. So it'll be a little bit longer of a break so that people know how to get those great handouts that you've been telling us about. For those of you who maybe just joined us, this is Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jody Johnston-Powell of the Parents Tool Shop, and today we're talking with Susan Vogt on the subject of consumerism and other holiday issues. If you do have any questions during the live show, you can either call in at area code 205-9654. Let me say that again. Area code 347-205-9654. And then hit the 1 key on your telephone keypad to raise your hand so we know you have a question, or you can send us a question using the chat room at www.parentstooltalk.com. And I'm going to go out and check our switchboard to see if any callers have hit that 1 button to raise their hand. And while I'm doing that, my producer is going to give you some important information about the featured resources that Susan and I are both offering this month. Are you there, Chris?
I sure am, Judy.
Great, thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to let you get the drink of water now, and I just want to wish a happy holiday season to everyone, and I hope that all of our listeners have had a good Thanksgiving and are looking forward to a happy Christmas, Hanukkah, any of the holidays that we celebrate during this season. And yes, Jody is right. I'm going to be talking about some special resources, both from Jody and our guest, Susan Vogt. And first, let's talk about a special resource that Susan Vogt has provided for us for our radio show listeners. It is a one-page handout called Tips to Recover Holiday Sanity. And this handout both reinforces and expands on the topics that Jody and Susan are talking about today, such as how to simply – I'm sorry – my script is wrong, such as how to simplify the holidays for you and your family, and how to go about gift giving or gift making if you're so inclined. And these tips are written in an easy-to-follow shorthand style on a single piece of paper printed. So you can download that handout, Tips to Recover Holiday Sanity, by going to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. We'd also like to mention Susan's website, www.susanvogt.net. That's www.susanvogt.net. And there you can view her many articles on marriage, parenting, spirituality, and leadership, and learn more about her books and workshops. So that web address again is www.susanvogt.net. Now on to Jody's featured articles this month. The first offers tips on how to tame the gimmies, quote unquote, that so many parents start hearing more of during the holiday season, and provides helpful advice on instilling a spirit of giving in your children. This article is called, quite appropriately, Taming the Holiday Gimmies. Also this month, Jody is featuring the article December Discipline for Naughty Children, in which Jody will help parents choose effective approaches to discipline that are not only effective but work in the long term. And this article gives special emphasis to some common discipline tactics that many parents employ during the holiday season, including but not limited to the Santa threat. We also have a resource called Family Holiday Fun, and this is a 12-page document that we definitely would like our listeners to check out, as it is only available through Jody, not anywhere else, and only during the holidays. Family Holiday Fun is a treasure trove of ideas for inexpensive gift wraps, holiday ornaments, family activities, and a lot more. So once again, all of these resources can be found at parentstooltalk.com/links, L-I-N-K-S. And finally, we would like to officially introduce a new resource package from Parents Tool Shop, and it's called the Parents Tool Shop Teleseminar Series Collection. This series takes the proven effective universal blueprint for parenting success formula and applies it to some of the most common challenges parents face. The teleseminars were recorded live with Jody and a group of parents and family service professionals from around the world. Each enhanced audio CD, and there are 12 in this collection, includes the full teleseminar recording, that's a one-hour teleseminar, remastered for better sound, and includes a complete transcript and all of the digital resources made available to the original participants of the teleseminar. The audio series covers topics like holiday parenting issues and dealing with difficult people, each of which Jody and Susan have talked about today. It was also covered a bit in November. Plus the most in-depth information on how to handle situations like sibling rivalry, back talk, temper tantrums, bedtime hassles, morning delays, picky eaters, tidiness, truthfulness, and more. And each collection includes a bonus 13th CD featuring an interview with Jody on the subject of kids and money. We're very excited about this new resource, and we hope that you'll take the time to check it out. In addition to a more detailed description of each teleseminar, we have 5-minute samples from each teleseminar on the Parents Tool Shop website. So that's an hour of content from the collection that you can sample. It's also priced at a significant value, so you can get the entire set at a huge discount over what it would have cost to get each one individually. So to find out more about the Parents Tool Shop Teleseminar Series Collection, go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links and click on the link titled Parents Tool Shop Teleseminar Series. And thanks so much for listening, and I'm going to hand things back over to you, Jody.
Thank you so much, Chris. And I'm going to have you let me know whether or not there's anyone in the chat room, but I'm not seeing any hands up on the switchboard. So I'd actually like to pick up where I left off with Susan, because I really like the gift ideas that you've given us. And we talked about parents can give 3 gifts. You gave us your magic 3, one to grow on, a gift of clothing, and a gift to meet your child's heart desire. But then we started to get into another topic that I knew was going to take us a little bit longer, which is, what about others? What about overindulgent grandparents or relatives who either give very large gifts, or maybe it's that awkward moment where one set of relatives gives gifts and another one doesn't, or there's something unequal? And I actually got a question from by email before our call, before our show today, that kind of relates to this. And so I'll use this as a specific example, but then maybe we can generalize the answer so that others can benefit. So Tony writes, I married a woman who had 2 girls, and now we have 1 of our own. Our daughter, together, is the first grandchild that my parents have had. I do not expect my parents to spend as much, and I think he means money on gifts, as the step-grandchildren as they would their own grandchild, but I also don't want the step-grandchildren to feel jealous or left out either. So I think this is a specific idea, the example of what you were starting to talk about, of what do you do about other people and the kinds of gifts they give and if there's an inequality there, or maybe you've got one family who can afford to give a lot and is happy and generous and wants to do that, and the other family would certainly do that if they could, but they just don't have the same resources. What suggestions do you have? Susan, are you there? Chris, I think
Hi. Hi, Jody. This is Chris. Yeah, sorry about that. She was muted. Here she is. Susan, you're back with us now.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry.
Yes, it is complicated, isn't it? And we have to handle these kinds of issues very delicately, I think, because we don't, as parents, want to be ungrateful for the generosity of grandparents and other relatives. They're giving it out of their love for our children. But sometimes it's so easy to equate giving gifts as a measure of our love. And that's what we're trying to help everybody understand.
Mm-hmm.
For what I would call overgivers, and it's a matter of dropping, having honest conversations, but without setting rules. Now, I remember in my own family when Jim and I were first married, his extended family had the tradition of giving very many and very lavish Christmas gifts, or my family didn't. And it wasn't that my parents and relatives couldn't afford it. It's just that it wasn't our style. And I was afraid that our children would believe that one set of grandparents loved them more because they were more lavish gift lovers, or that they would love those grandparents more. And so we talked, we had some pretty kind but honest discussions with the more lavish gift givers and explained that our children really love them and we love getting gifts from them, but that our kids valued time with them as much as their gifts, and that we urged them to give one special gift, and if they felt they really wanted to give more to the children, that perhaps they could give money into a savings account for them after that special gift, or to do some special activity with them. I know one family we know gives each person in the family a cash gift with the stipulation that that person needs to choose a charity to give it to. This is in addition to whatever physical gift they give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that starts the custom of using some of what we have to give to others, but yet the child gets to choose the charity. So that's one approach. Now, still there is the unequal situation that your emailer mentions about stepchildren versus biological children. And the dilemma he is faced with is very understandable. I think for a non-custodial parent or grandparent that isn't in the household, you might find a way to give a gift to your biological child in a more private way than flaunting it in front of the other children if they aren't going to get anything. But generally, as a rule of thumb, I would favor giving gifts of a roughly equivalent nature to children who live in the same household, because it can promote jealousy and envy if one child gets a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's dependent on age, too, that sometimes older children's gifts are by nature more expensive when you start to get into computers and things like that. It is a real difficult kind of thing to sort out, though, and I think what your emailer's grandparents are thinking of giving their biological grandchild a more expensive gift, whereas the other children they would give something more modest, and then maybe do something with all of the children together if they're able to do that. It's a matter of trying to sensitively sort it out. I don't know that there are any really hard and fast rules about it.
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of I like your term roughly equivalent, because on the one extreme, it's obvious that something that's drastically unequal can be a problem, but there's also a problem with getting stuck, and this is in my book, of getting stuck in the fair and equal game, that everything has to be exactly equal, because then everything becomes the scorekeeping thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, or I go to take you out to buy a raincoat because you need one, and you know, your sister says, well, you just spent $30 on her, what are you going to buy me? You know, well, when you need a raincoat, you'll get a raincoat. You know, we buy based on needs, and so if one child's heart's desire gift is 50 and another's heart's desire gift would be maybe, you know, even 20 or 30, it doesn't mean that you, for the one who was 20 or 30, you go out to the dollar store and buy 20 other, you know, junky gifts, or that you go spend 20 more dollars just to make it exactly even. If they're roughly equivalent and that truly is what would be their heart's desire, then from the child's perspective, it's going to meet their needs as opposed to feeding into this whole scorekeeping, who's better, who's getting more kind of mentality. We don't want to feed that by either being overly unequal or being overly rigid about everything having to be exactly equal either, because that'll feed that competition too.
Good point.
Yeah. Let me ask, you had mentioned a couple of things earlier, I think throughout what you've said today about giving to older children and teens. You mentioned that sometimes the gifts are more expensive. We've talked about adult children and teens sometimes giving gifts of their time or of maybe making some investments, you know, whether it's a college fund or a car fund or something like that. Are there any additional tips or ideas? I know you're going to be giving us the gift-giving idea handout, the nothing new handout, and I think those related to those topics. Is there anything, because we are getting down to the last couple of minutes here, anything else that you would want to say about giving gifts to teens and older adults?
Well, again, the gift of time, I think, becomes more important with them. But I would like to turn that around for a moment and make suggestions for the teens or young adults of what they can give, because I think they have some special talents that they can give to the rest of the family or to their parents even.
Good.
And
one, just have a matter of seconds.
Okay. One is to be willing to talk with your parents, to cook with them, to maybe clean up a part of the house, or to set up a family recycling system, to teach your parents more about technology, to share a talent, to hand down something to younger siblings. So there are a lot of things that that teenagers and young adults can give that are unique to their age.
That sounds wonderful. And again, you've got additional information on those handouts, so I do encourage everyone to check those out. As we start to head towards into the end of the show, let me just give a real quick recap. Our guest today has been Susan Vogt, and it's spelled V-O-G-T, because you'll want to check out her website. Susan Vogt, VOGT.net. And we've been talking about consumerism and other holiday issues. And Susan, I so appreciate all the insights and practical advice that you've given us.
You're welcome.
Foster parents, just a quick reminder to you to check out from the call for your continuing education credits by either sending a chat message or staying on the line until you hear a prompt that the show has ended, and we always record phone numbers of who's still there. Then send your email reminder to us at questions@parentstooltalk.com for attendance verification. Now, again, you can get all of this month's resources at parentstooltalk.com/links. You can also sign up for our mailing list so that you can get the email that has a link to all these resources that you can keep forever. Also keep in mind that Parents Tool Talk is now listed on iTunes, and you can subscribe that way, and we'll be posting some of our older shows there over the next few months. So thanks again, Susan, for joining us today. Our listeners and I have learned so much, and I really did enjoy our time together. I don't know when the exit music will start coming on, but any final comments?
Well, I would say if I had to sum it all up, waiting till December 25th heightens the joy and the celebration. Don't forget you've got 12 days after that to celebrate Christmas and the holidays.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for that final tip. Thanks, everyone, for listening today and for joining us on Parents Tool Talk. I'm Jody Johnson-Powell, and you can join us next month as we bring in the new year with the topic of talking to your kids about sex. I wish you all a great weekend, a joyous holiday season, and a happy new year. Until then, I'm yours in service. Bye now.